When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your favorite Canadian, Rico, back at it again. You are tuned in to BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network, home to 7 days a week of Buffalo Bills content, news, updates, analysis, you name it, we got it 7 days a week. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume. It's BFPN, Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network.
What is up? What is up? That awesome music can only mean one thing, and you know what that one thing means. Welcome into the Overreaction Bills podcast, brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I am your host, Joe Miller. I am the voice of the Overreaction Bills podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And whether or not this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, on the way to work, or at the gym in some other state than New York with your AirPods in, I just want to say welcome, 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 welcome into the Overreaction Bills podcast. With that being said, real quick, just to get it out of the way, because not only am I obligated, but I love the guy. This show is brought to you by the Market Dominator. You just heard it at the top. Who is the Market Dominator? The Market Dominator is my guy, John Spaschek. John is a realtor with Keller Williams Realty. They are the largest real estate company in the entire world, and John is by far and away one of the best real estate brokers in all of Western New York. And here's the thing. If you need a broker and you are not in Buffalo, Western New York, John can still help you. But do me this favor. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, I want you to reach out to John as fast and as quickly as possible. Look, you don't want to be in a situation where you're selling a home by yourself, or you're buying a home and you're trying to do it by yourself. You need to have an expert, and you need to have the best, and go to the best. The best is John Spaschek. Reach him. Call him, text him, 716-570-3298. The number again, 716-570-3298. You can also email him at yourelitebroker@gmail.com. But here's what's up. John is Bill's Mafia. So instead of emailing him, why don't you just hit him up on Twitter? You can find him. His handle is yourelitebroker. At Your Elite Broker. So get a hold of John Spaschek, the Market Dominator. You will not regret it. He is going to not only help you sell your home for top dollar, but he's also going to lead you through the entire transition process of selling or buying your home as a life transition specialist would. Call my guy, John Spaschek. What a weekend. What a weekend, Bills Mafia. This weekend could not have gone any better for the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia, and you can probably hear it in my voice. What a difference 1 week makes. What a difference one week of games, NFL games, makes. This time last week, maybe a little bit later than this. No, it was this time. We were all, what is the word? We were all basically watching all of our hopes and dreams come crashing down to the earth as the Bills, who we all pretty much had, at one point myself admittedly conceded to the fact that they were going to lose that football game against the Cardinals. Then Josh Allen does Josh Allen things, which clearly Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa can't do yet. But Josh Allen does Josh Allen things, scores a touchdown on a late game drive to take the lead, leaves 34 seconds on the clock, and it was enough. And we all know the results from that game. And then the NFL does what the NFL does. The Cardinals come right back out. They play on Thursday Night Football, and they look like a shell of the version of the team that played against the Bills. I don't know if it's matchups. I don't know what happens as far as week to week. But as they say, the NFL is a week to week game or a week to week league. And with that, we're seeing it again. Last week, sullen, right? Last week, sullen. This week, excited. Satisfactory amazement. As the entire AFC East went 0-3 this weekend. That's right. The Buffalo Bills have once again a stranglehold on the AFC East at 7-3. So they basically won this weekend without even playing. The Dolphins lost to the Denver Broncos. They are now at 6-4. The Bills have a game and a half lead on them. The Patriots are 4-6 after losing to the Texans. And the Jets, well, the Jets are out there doing Adam Gase Jets things. And what's interesting about this weekend is just the position that it puts us in. And we'll talk about the rest of the AFC East, or the AFC picture here in a second. I'm not going to keep you long today. It's the bye week, right? And there's a lot of people taking this week off. And frankly, I was going to take this week off too, but I'm just a little too excited just because of just how Sunday turned out. Not to mention the fact that I've got something new I want to unleash on you guys and see what you think. And it might become a regular part of the show in season. And as you know, we've got 6 games left of the season. And then obviously, hopefully more than one playoff game. I guess we'll find out. But the reality is this. The Bills are 7-3. They're number one, all alone atop the AFC East. They've got a stranglehold, as I like to say. And the funny thing is this division is shaking out almost the way that I picked them way back in April or May on a podcast with Jay Spence, the King. When I had the Bills first, I had the Dolphins second. I had the Jets third, but I didn't have them doing well. I think I had them at like 3-13 or 4-12. And then I had the Pats last. The difference being I thought Darnold was going to play better than he is, and Cam Newton is playing about the way that I thought Cam Newton would play. The Patriots are not a good football team, and if the Patriots are not a good football team, I don't know what to tell you that makes the Jets. They're horrible. However, the Dolphins, on the other hand, they're a team on the come. They're an up-and-rising football team. I don't think this is necessarily their year, but we are going to watch the Buffalo Bills duke it out with the Miami Dolphins for probably all of Josh Allen's career, barring a Tua Tagovailoa bust. And to be honest with you, from what I've seen, as much as it was fun, and I was, look, everybody, Bills Mafia, I was petty. I was about as petty as it got. Like, some of the tweets that I tweeted just about Tua and fitting the gold jacket and Fitzy gonna fit. Look, I was petty, I was shallow, but I don't care. Dude, the Dolphins fans, the Fish fans have been all up in my business, not only on my Twitter feed, but also on the Hump Day Hotline on Wednesday nights. Like, these guys are showing up in the comments section with Bills Mafia. And I don't mean like one guy or two guys. Like, the last couple weeks, there's been a plethora, if you will, of Fish fans up in the comment sections on all the platforms for the Hump Day Hotline. And frankly, I'm pretty much sick and tired. At one point in time, they were calling us delusional Bills fans. And that was when we had basically said that the Dolphins were going to lose. I can't remember which team they were going to lose to, but we didn't pick them losing to the Broncos. Meanwhile, here we are. They've lost to the Broncos. And it just goes to make you wonder who the actual delusional fans are. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a homer. I can homer with the best of them, yo. Like, legit, I can homer with the best of them. But at this point in time, this division belongs to the Buffalo Bills as of right now, as of week 11. And my guess is next year we're going to see Adam Gase get fired and that whole entire coaching staff. And my hope and prayer is, you know, that I don't care about Adam Gase. My hope and prayer is that Greg Williams never sees a job in the NFL ever again. I don't know what's going to happen with the Patriots. I don't think Cam Newton gets re-signed. So if there's a bold prediction here as it pertains to the AFC East, I don't think Cam Newton comes back to the Patriots. I don't know about Bill Belichick. I mean, is he going to retire? He's definitely not getting fired. I don't know. We'll see. The Dolphins, though, you know, this Tua kid, they're going to ride this Tua kid. He looked good. He has his moments, and the Denver Broncos did a very good job of confusing him, much in the way we've seen defenses in the past confuse Josh Allen. So there's even this year, there's some defenses that Josh Allen has lit it up against. And then there's been a couple defensive coverages where, you know, they've thrown some stuff at him where he was a little bit confused. However, Josh Allen, 3-year player, has learned at this point how to overcome those things. And Tua didn't in this football game against the Broncos. And the surprising thing about it, and I'm not going to talk about the Dolphins long, just long enough to basically rub it in. The surprising thing is Tua got benched. Now, there's speculation out there as to whether or not he hurt his foot, but there was no reports as of this recording that he hurt his foot. There was some speculation, but from everything we can see, by and large, for all intents and purposes, Tua got benched for Fitzpatrick. Now, I don't know that I believe or ascribe to the whole mental psyche thing, and if you put a rookie quarterback in and then yank him out for the backup while the game's still in reach, that you hurt his confidence or whatever. I don't know that I believe that stuff. I think Tua, who is quoted as saying, you know, I thought this was going to be a lot harder, he was in over his head. You know, when you think duck on a pond, you know, above the water, you know, you're all calm and fine, but under the water, your feet are just kicking like crazy. Tua had happy feet in the pocket. He was not comfortable. He was not, there was nothing that he was going to do. I think it was the right choice, I guess is what I'm saying, to pull him for Fitzpatrick. Now, luckily for us, Fitzy did what Fitzy does. Is Fitzy gonna Fitz? The amount of times we as Bills fans, let's be honest, we've talked about it before. We as Bills fans love Ryan Fitzpatrick with all of our hearts. He will always forever be Bills Mafia. Even he says his favorite place to have played ever in his career was in Buffalo. But we have seen what happened in this football game all too many times as Bills fans, where the Bills are down by less than a possession or a possession. So 4 points, 5 points, we need a touchdown to win. Ryan Fitzpatrick drives the team down the field, and at the worst possible time, within, you know, a minute left in the game, inside the red zone, throws an interception, and Ryan Fitzpatrick did it once again, which I called, by the way. I didn't call it in the sense of it's going to happen. I just called it and said, hey, is Fitzy going to Fitz? And Fitzy Fitz the only way that Fitzy can Fitz. So, yeah, so that's just good news for us all the way around. So the Buffalo Bills, just to wrap that up, 7-3 in the division at the top, all by themselves, all by their lonesomes, because the AFC East went 0-3 today in a game in a week that was probably clutch for all of them, specifically the Dolphins, but the Patriots as well, to kind of keep pace with what the Buffalo Bills are doing. Now, you will forgive me as I approach this next segment, as we're going to talk quickly about just the AFC standings in general, but I am not prepared. And what I mean by that is, by the time of this recording, one of the football games on Sunday have not been played yet, the Chiefs and the Raiders. So it's hard to tell for me who all is in the hunt and not. I can tell you this, there were a lot of teams, a ton of teams that were at 6-3 at the very least, to the point that it was like, how are all of these teams winning so many football games? With that being said, a lot got figured out and a little more got sorted out in this past weekend's football games. In the AFC East, currently, the Buffalo Bills lead with 6 games left of the season at 7-3. The Bills are 4-1 at home. And they are, it's not listed here, but they are 4-0 in the division. The Dolphins are 6-4, very much, quote unquote, in the hunt. Patriots are pretty much all but out of it. The Chiefs are getting ready to play football at the time of this recording. They are playing the Raiders. The Chiefs obviously have, at this point right now, a stranglehold, if you will, on the AFC West division. And the Raiders have already beaten the Chiefs one time. So it's not outside the realm of possibility to conceive that the Raiders could beat the Chiefs again. Again, as of right now, I don't know what the outcome of that football game is going to be. The Raiders are, if they win this game, 7-3. The Chiefs would be 8-2. The Raiders and Chiefs very much in the hunt, clearly fighting for the first place in the AFC West. The Broncos out of it. Chargers pretty much out of it. The Steelers, has there ever been a more, what is the word, pretender, paper champion than the Pittsburgh Steelers? I don't know how this team is even winning. Like, they are literally 10-0, undefeated at this point. And I know they've played some not great teams. I know they've had a lot of games come down to the wire. I know that this Chase Claypool kid is really talented. We all know Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Famer, regardless of where you stand on Big Ben. Big Ben has done it consistently over and over and over again, and he's doing it again. But I just don't believe in the Steelers. Nonetheless, the Steelers right now have, as we have been saying, a stranglehold on the AFC and that first round bye. Now, what we need to have happen is we need the Steelers to lose to the Bills and to lose about three more football games or two more football games, and the Bills to not lose any more football games. If the Bills win out, if the Chiefs lose, I guess they'd have to lose three more football games. The Bills could potentially be in the running for a first round bye in the playoffs. However, at this point in time, the Steelers, we're just going to assume they're going to, you know, come in at 14-2, 15-1, and probably secure that first round bye. The Browns are 7-3. The Ravens are 6-4. Both of those teams are still in the hunt. And then you look at the Titans. The Titans are 7-3. The Colts, I believe, won today. They are 6-3. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams vying for what looks to be seven. Is it seven playoff spots, if I'm not mistaken, with one team getting a first round bye? So it's going to be interesting. The Bills, if you're looking at who they're going to play, most likely in the first round of the playoffs, it's going to be, you know, against the Colts, against the Browns potentially, or maybe even the Raiders. I can't imagine a back-to-back situation with the Dolphins. That last game of the season could be interesting. If the Bills have clinched the AFC East and the Dolphins come to town in Buffalo in January, first weekend of January, and the Bills don't play their starters and lose that game because the game doesn't matter, but the Dolphins win, there's a chance that the Bills could end up playing the Dolphins again, maybe, the very next week. So back-to-back, which happened, I think it was 1996 or it was 1993. Was it 1993? It was 1993, the Tim Tindale game. Am I right about that? I can't remember. So there was a playoff game where I believe the Bills played back-to-back games against the Dolphins last game of the season, first game of the playoffs, and Tim Tindale had himself a game. I could be wrong. I'm getting old. You know how that stuff kind of goes. But that is pretty much the rest of the AFC picture. What the Bills have to do is they have to take care of business. This is not over. We clearly play the Dolphins one more time. We play the Patriots one more time. The only hard game, in my opinion, left on this schedule is the game against the Steelers. We play the Chargers this coming week in Buffalo at 1 o'clock. And let's just be honest. This Justin, I tweeted it out. Justin Herbert, like this kid is going to be the all-time passing leader in the NFL by his NFL fifth season, like his fifth NFL season. The kid does nothing but throw for 300 and 400-yard football games, and they lose every time. I'm just going to say it. If the Bills don't fix this defense, he might throw for 600 on us in a losing effort. Like, the kid has got a live arm, is super talented, but the Bills play the Chargers coming all the way back across from the West Coast to the East Coast for a 1 o'clock game in the cold. It's not going to be probably super, super nice outside. I doubt we're going to see another 70-degree game for that football game, but the Bills need to take care of business. At this point in time, the road for the Bills is in their own hands. There would have been a whole lot more heat on them. There would have been a whole lot more looking behind them. There would have been a whole lot more pressure had the Dolphins won today or even the Patriots won today. But nonetheless, that did not happen. So the Bills are in control of their own destiny, which is exactly what you want. The good news is this. Wow, I need to take a break. I think I just did a lot of talking in like 5 minutes there. Sorry. The good news is this. I'm going to slow down a little bit. The Bills are getting healthy, right? So this bye week came at a perfect time. And we've heard for years and years and years, if you've been watching football for 10 minutes or 10 years, that you don't want to be in a hot streak, right? The first four games of the season, the Bills were. You don't want to be playing your best football in the first four games of the season, which the Bills were playing very good football. You want to be playing your best football. You want to be on a hot streak. And you want to be as healthy as you can possibly be going into the last quarter of the season. At this point in time, 10 games have been played by the Bills. So the season is it's a little over half over, whatever that percentage works out to be. Two more games and the third quarter will be over. Oh, by the way, small little plug. After week 12, you will get another episode of Off Tackle with John Fina, the Off Tackle with John Fina show, with yours truly hosting. But the Bills are getting healthy at the right time, and they're getting, hopefully, we'll be able to, after all these self-proclaimed deep dives, as Sean McDermott said, into whether it's the offensive line and running the ball and the deep dive into the third quarter woes and the deep dive into getting the defense right. Here's the thing. The Bills are, I've said it four times, they're in control of their own destiny. If they can do what they need to do, if they can keep their focus, I like what I believe one player said, which was he either said, I don't know who we're playing next. I think that's what he said. I don't remember who it was. And there was another player that I think I heard said didn't even know what their record was because they're so focused on winning each game that they're not paying attention to records and they're not paying attention to opponents as far as like who's 2 weeks out. So they're not, there's no schedule on the wall where they've circled games, I guess. But the Bills are getting healthy. They need to be in control. They need to, you know, take care of business, do the things that they need to do. Here's what's interesting. I think we're going to get a look at the offensive line in about the best condition or the best lineup that it could possibly be for the very first time this season against the against the LA Chargers, which would look like this. Deion Dawkins at left tackle, Cody Ford at left guard, Mitch Morse at center, Feliciano Mongo at right guard, and then Darrell Williams at right tackle. This will be the very first time. So when you're talking about the Buffalo Bills potentially getting healthy and figuring out what's going on with the run game and trying to get that established, they've got no better opportunity than against a, what's the word, flailing? I don't even know what you would call this Chargers team because they clearly have no issues putting up offense, but they clearly have a lot of issues playing defense, which is similar to some of the problems that the Bills have. But if there's a time that they're going to get it right, it's going to be against this Chargers football team. But I'm very excited, and you should be too, to see Dawkins, Ford, Morse, Feliciano, and Williams lined up next to each other and what kind of hay they can make against an opposing defensive line. Now, keep in mind, Bosa plays on that defensive line. He's very good. But Josh Allen, you know, we've seen him play against Aaron Donald. We've seen him play against some really good defensive linemen as well. So defense, they've got to get this defense right. I couldn't even imagine what this team would look like with this offense and last year's defense. Like, you want to talk about, like, dreamland. You want to talk about in your wildest dreams world. Like, that would be amazing. The cool thing is, and the exciting thing is we have mostly all the same players aside from one Star Lotulelei, right? One Shaq Lawson and one Jordan Phillips on this team, by and large. You know, this is the same football team. We have made some healthy additions. Yes, we are missing a one technique tackle, which is a problem. We've got guys like Ed Oliver playing out of position, but he's doing a good job. He's not flashing, but he's holding his own. If, and it's not a big if, but it's if they can get this defense figured out, if they can get this run game figured out and bring just a small semblance of balance to this offense. And I know what you're thinking because I think it too. Why, Joe? Why? If Josh Allen can go out there and throw for 350 yards at will, why do we even need a run game? Basically, to run, there's moments in a game where domination plays a factor. There's moments in a game where you need to be able to put games away and basically run downhill at people and smash them in the face when you've got a three-possession lead, which is something this team has not been able to do this year. Getting the run game fixed is important. And if they can't, getting some semblance of a substitution for the run game is just as important, which means finding a way to work guys like Beasley underneath often but early. Not often late, which is what Josh has been doing, but working guys like Beasley underneath often early to get some semblance of pulling those defensive backs up a little bit so that all that deeper stuff, the intermediate to deep stuff, kind of opens up. So, but the Bills are clearly in charge of their own destiny. They need to do whatever they need to do to just basically remain confident in their own abilities. They just need to get this stuff shored up, right? We all know what it is. Frankly, the AFC East, these teams did the Bills a favor that has never been paid to them in about 25 years. They all lost today. So we are just going to be excited this week. This is a victory Monday. This is a victory Monday for the Buffalo Bills and for Bills Mafia. So take it in, revel in it, enjoy it. But what I want to do now is I want to transition to a very new segment that I'm thinking about starting possibly next week, and it will only last the remainder of the season. And then after the remainder of the season, it'll go away. And then it'll come back next year, God willing, if I'm still doing this. God willing, it'll come back next year. But what I want to call it is I want to call it the Bills Mafia Time to Shine. And every single week, I want to solicit from you, Bills Mafia, I want you to do much in what I kind of tried to do on Sunday, which was late notice, and I get it. I want to solicit from you grabbing your cell phone and basically turning on your voice recorder and recording yourself giving me a Bills take, whatever that take is, good, bad, indifferent. It could be on Wednesday. It can be on Thursday. It could be on Friday. It could be before the game on Sunday. It could be after the game on Sunday. It doesn't matter when you do the take. I'm just looking for a Bills Mafia take from you, the listeners, the fans, if you will, of the Overreaction Bills podcast. I want to go through it. I want to probably pick two, three, maybe one of those takes to play on the air. So basically, Bills Mafia, this is your time to shine. So I put that out there and I got some. I got some, which is fun. So I'm really, really excited to kind of unleash this segment on you. This is the very first time on the Overreaction Bills podcast that I've done this. No, just so you know, the reading of the tweets, the reading of your overreaction tweets is not going to go away. This is something that I want to do. Just that is kind of extra. I think that if this is a bonus, I think it'll just add to what we do as Bills Mafia when we think about overreacting and how we feel emotionally. So this is going to be the Bills Mafia time to shine. So I'm going to cue these up for you. Give me just a second to get back.
Hello, this is real estate broker John Spaschak with Keller Williams, better known as the Market Dominator. You know, today's real estate market is as hot as it has ever been. So if you are looking to sell your home, chances are it will sell fast. But the real question is, will you be able to sell it for the right price? Folks, I have just developed some very unique marketing strategies with the effective use of AI, artificial intelligence, that help bring the highest paying buyers to the table so that you don't leave any cash behind. You could reach me at 716-570-3298. And if you are on the buying side, you will likely find yourself in multiple offer situations. You will need unique strategies in order to win in this highly competitive market. I have developed some strategies that are out of the box. I can't share them all with you on this ad, but if you call me at 716-570-3298 or shoot me an email at yourelitebroker@gmail.com or hit me up at Twitter at yourelitebroker, I can give you everything you need to win in this market, just as our Buffalo Bills are going to do it. Go Bills!
All right, all right. So welcome back to the Overreaction Bills podcast brought to you by the Market Dominator on the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I'm your host, Joe Miller, the voice of the Overreaction Bills podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. The very first Buffalo Bills Mafia time to shine. What do I got here? Hot take is from T. Estelle. So this is T. Estelle. T. Estelle, give it to me.
Here's my hot take while I'm driving in my car. I think that Atua is all hype. We beat Miami again. We go and we beat Pittsburgh again. Play that song. Renegade, I guess. I don't know what it is. Who cares? but yeah, we beat Renegade. Pittsburgh. We beat Miami. Who else do we have? That is a tough team. Doesn't matter. I think the next six games, we go 4-2.
Ooh.
And we win the division. So that's my hot take. Go Bills. Great podcast, Joe. Listen to you all the time. You're the best. All right, dude. Peace.
That's T. Estelle. Big fan of the show. I'm a big fan of hers. You can find T. Estelle at T-E-E-S-T-E-L-L. She is great. She has a podcast of her own. You should follow her on Twitter. So I agree with you, although I think the Bills go 4-1 in the, well, I guess it's 4-2, I'm sorry, 5-1. So I think the Bills go 5-1 in the last six games of the season, but I love that. The next one is from my guy, James Kehoe. And you can find James on Twitter at 87M as in Mary 2G. Here we go, James.
Joe Miller tweeted today asking people to put in their takes on how the Bills do for the rest of the season. And being a big fan of the Overreaction podcast, here is my take for the remaining six games of the season. I believe that this team goes 6-0 in the next six games.
Woo.
Yes, even against Pittsburgh.
yes, even against New England, Miami, and the Chargers, and the rest of them that are on that list. This team is coming together at the perfect time.
Agreed.
Came out of the gates hot, had some stumbles, had some games that people would think, hey, this team might not be as good as we think. But take a look at the last couple games, especially the Seattle game. This defense is going to come together. It's firing. The work ethic matches how they look on paper. I believe this Bills team goes 6-0. We win our division. And I am not a guy that people would call a homer. I am a very pessimistic, stats-looking guy. But I'm telling you, I'm sold on these Bills.
I love it. I love it. I love the confidence. And it's true. One of the rules that James gave me before he followed me was like, look, bro, I'm not going to follow you if you're like a Homer glasses guy. Like, I'm only going to follow you if like you tell it like it is. And if you don't tell it like it is, I'm going to call you out and then I'm going to unfollow you. So I like it, James. I love the confidence. I love the swagger. I agree with you 100%. The next one is from Max Leibel. You can find him on Twitter at Max_Leibel. Give it to me.
Based on this season, Josh Allen has changed how we'll analyze college quarterbacks going forward and quarterback development in the NFL.
That's actually a really cool take because Bruce Nolan and I did a podcast before the season started that was just basically talking about how quarterbacks are rated, how they're talked about, how they're perceived or how they're judged, and whether or not a lot of these athletic quarterbacks like Josh Allen, like Lamar Jackson, like Pat Mahomes, like Russell Wilson, like all these guys that are coming, Tua, I mean, pick one, Deshaun Watson, if they're not judged accurately because we aren't necessarily including rush yards in their total yardage, where we just only talk about them as a passer. It was an interesting podcast. I would recommend that everybody goes back and watches it if you could, or listens to it if you can find it. But that's actually really great. There's something to be said for allowing a quarterback to develop, giving him time. This is the NFL is a, what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me now? And the reality is a lot of these quarterbacks are not given the time that they need to develop. You take a guy like Rich Gannon. Rich Gannon bounced around the NFL for a very long time before he finally hooked up with John Gruden and became Rich Gannon. Kurt Warner is another one that I think about. Like, Kurt Warner was in the NFL, or maybe he wasn't. I don't know. He bounced around, was bagging groceries, ended up, I think, in the Arena League, was bagging groceries again, and then made it to the NFL and is now a Hall of Famer. Josh Allen is kind of like the next story, even though it's not quite as extreme as Kurt Warner's, but there's something to be said for allowing some of these guys, giving them the time that they need to develop. Now, clearly, some of them just don't get it, and some of them never will. But Josh Allen, that's a great take, that Josh Allen could potentially be the guy that changes the way that we benchmark or look at prospects, quarterback prospects, going forward. Love it. Thanks for being a part of the show. One more for you guys, and this one I don't have a Twitter handle. All I've got is an email address, and it's Will. What is it? Will's ZAF, and I tried to find him on Twitter, but I couldn't. I think he tweeted me, and I think he was like, I hope you got mine. I was like, well, I've gotten several, but I don't have a Twitter handle for you. So that's one thing that I'm going to have to clarify going forward is when I get these emails to make sure that everybody sends me their Twitter handle as well so that I can identify who you are, or at least a first name. But here we go in the last one.
Hot take for the rest of the season. Let's get it. The Buffalo Bills are going to finish 12-4.
Woo!
We would finish 13-3, but we're going to lose week 17 against Miami.
Ooh.
Since we're resting starters leading up to the playoff games. The first playoff game, we're going to win. Probably going to win comfortably.
Nice.
It's going to look
nice.
Really good. We're going to have some fire in our souls. We're going to lose the second playoff game, but it's going to be very close. Maybe even by a field goal with no time left. And that's going to hurt. It's going to suck. It's going to be a heartbreaker.
They always are.
But it shows really, really good things for the future of this franchise, and it's going to be so hard to be mad about it.
That's awesome. Man, that was great. I love it. I love the confidence. I love the swagger. I love the confidence in Bills Mafia. So that was the very first run through for a brand new segment that I'm calling Bills Mafia Time to Shine. And I think I'm going to keep doing it. I don't know how I'm going to keep doing it because I love reading your tweets as well. But the Overreaction Bills podcast may have just gotten a little bit better and a little bit longer. But that was awesome. So next time, for next week, I'm going to create an email address. Be looking for it. One that's different than my personal one. And I'm going to create an email address for the show. And what I want to do is I want to do the same thing. I want to get a couple hot takes, and I'm going to respond to them as we kind of go. So just so everybody knows, I did not listen to those hot takes that you just heard beforehand. Literally, I just played them and responded to them as they were playing. So I want to thank you guys for being a part of that. Here's what's up. I want to take just a moment to thank everybody. This has been kind of a weird barn burner, like firestorm podcast, just because there was no Bills game today, and I didn't have an intention of doing one. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart just for being a part of the show. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for retweeting my stuff. I want to thank you for interacting with me. I want to thank you for just the love that you show me and just the connection that we have. I am Bills Mafia. You are Bills Mafia. Together, we are a unique group, a unique family, a unique fan base, if you will. And at the end of the day, we're all in this thing together. So do me a favor, wherever this week finds you, it's Thanksgiving week, count your blessings. It's so easy, to get wrapped up. I was burping, not crying. It's so easy to get caught up, to get wrapped up in everything that's going bad. It's so easy to get wrapped up and caught up in politics. It's so easy to get wrapped up and caught up in just a lot of things. But you know what? We all have a lot to be thankful for. And the reality is we don't have to look very far to be thankful or to find things to be thankful for. At the end of the day, you've got me. We've got the Bills. We've got each other. We've got a city that we love. We live in a country where we're free. Even with sometimes when we feel like those freedoms are being imposed upon because of health issues and just a global pandemic and things that are going on. But we are in this together. We are one people united together by common beliefs and common love for the Buffalo Bills. So it's Thanksgiving week. I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. I love you guys. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for all of Bills Mafia. I'm thankful for Kim and Terry Pegula. I'm thankful for Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I'm thankful for Josh Allen. I'm thankful for this entire football team. I'm thankful for my network. I'm thankful for the Buffalo Fanatics Podcast Network. I'm incredibly thankful for John Spaschek, the Market Dominator. And again, if you have not called the Market Dominator, you need to. If you're buying a home or selling a home or getting ready to, even if you're 2 months away, get that relationship established with John now. He's an awesome guy. But I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my girls. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for the home that we live in. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for my health and my family's health. We have a lot to be thankful for. And the reality is this: inside of all of that thankfulness, the only true value in life is found when we're giving our lives away to other people. So if there's any way that you can reach out to somebody who's hurting or broken this week, whether it's providing them with a Thanksgiving dinner or inviting them, if there's not more than a certain amount of people, 10 people at your home, inviting somebody who has no place to go and has no family to your home for Thanksgiving, or just remembering to call somebody or text them on Thanksgiving. Just remember, we're all in this together, and life is better when you love each other. So with that, I'm going to let you guys go. As always, appreciate you guys. I love you guys. I don't know. I'm pining on about silly stuff, just as far as being thankful. But with that, I'm going to let you guys go. We'll talk to you on Saturday, Sunday, when I do the Bills preview pod for the Chargers game. Until next time, you've been listening to the Overreaction Bills podcast. Like I say 1,000 times on this show, I am your host, the voice of the Overreaction podcast, Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Till next time, guys. Go Bills.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.